Merry Christmas. You know, if we were Jewish, I would say Happy Hanukkah. What is Hanukkah? What is Hanukkah? See, the Jews knew their story. Do we know our story? What is Hanukkah? You know, I was looking at the news, I was reading a few things, and they said that, the movies that are best known today, the best movies for Christmas are what? Die Hard and Home Alone. We know the story because we've seen it a zillion times, Die Hard and Home Alone, right? And there's probably a few of us here, including myself, that might watch one of them. You can probably figure out which one I'm going to watch. Okay. But it's weird how Die Hard and Home Alone, those stories, has replaced our story. And why did I start out with Happy Hanukkah? Because, see, Hanukkah has a lot to do with today, with salvation history and knowing our story, because we are grafted onto the roots of the Jews as Gentiles. We are grafted onto their roots. And so we better know our roots. We better know our roots, the Jewish roots. You know, December 25th is the feast of Hanukkah. And why is that so special? Because in 165 BC, Judas Maccabeus, what did he do? He removed from the temple, the altar of Zeus. And that was the abomination that was placed up in the temple, in the Jewish temple, by the Greeks. They placed up this abomination of the temple of the Jews, and he removed it from there. He destroyed it. Why is that so important for us? Because on the 25th of December, Christmas, that we celebrate, Christ, like Judas Maccabeus, takes on flesh to clean our temple, to remove the God of death that was set up within us. Jesus Christ truly does what Judas Maccabee sought to do. He removes from us the evil that has taken us captive. See, we need to know the story. We need to know our story. Why is the story so important? To know the story is to loosen our hearts and to put us at ease. To loosen our hearts and put us at ease. See, it's important for us to understand something first. Not an ease without conviction, because I think it'd be nice to have an ease without conviction, to be at peace without any conviction. Because, see, conviction is important for us to put us at ease. It's necessary for us. Because what conviction does is it loosens our hearts and it creates an openness to the salvific action of God. The salvific action of God that God came to perform within each one of our lives. We have to open our hearts to that grace. We have to desire that conviction. See, it recalls, the second reading's beautiful. St. Paul, he's calling to mind in the Acts of the Apostles. He's calling the Jews. See, he's reminding the Jews of their story. But not only the Jews, but he also says the others. He also speaks about the others there that are out there, the God-fearing people. The Jews and the God-fearing people. And he tells them the story, but see, we don't hear all the story here because the Jews and the God-fearing people of that time knew their story. But do we know our story? See, like I said, the story is supposed to convict us, to rend our hearts and open them to the grace of God who comes to us. St. Peter, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ and after he ascended into heaven, the very beginning of Acts of the Apostles in the sacred scriptures. What does he do? He stands up before the Jews and before the people there. And what does he say to them? He says to them, you put the Messiah to death. You put the Messiah to death. You put the Messiah to death. And their hearts were rent, it said. Their hearts were rent. And guess what they did? They cried out and said, what must we do to be saved? See, when Peter told the story, because he said, you put the Messiah to death. And then he went through the whole story of the history of the Jews, how it was planned from the beginning, from the Garden of Eden up to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He told them the story. He recounted it to them. And it rent their hearts. And they cried out, what must I do to be saved? And as I said, that is what St. Paul does to us today, in today's second reading. And believe it or not, that is what the deacon did with us today as he read the genealogy of Jesus Christ. He told us the story, because if we were good Jews, if we were good God-fearing men, we would know the story behind the genealogy, behind the lives of each one of those that Deacon mentioned in the gospel today. And so just as the church fathers, our early church fathers, the ones who followed Jesus Christ, followed the apostles, the ones that were ordained by the apostles and then ordained others, other priests who became bishops, and they ordained the priests, just like the early church fathers and the priests of the past and the present have continued to cry out the truth of the story, because the story will not be silenced. So too I stand before you this evening, and I say the same words that St. Paul says, men of Israel, and you that fear God, listen. And now I will tell you the Christmas story. I will recount to you the graces and gifts of God, and that God has and has for each one of us. You know, each one of us has a story itself. Each one of us has encountered God in many different ways, and that's why we're here. And it affects each one of us in a different way. For some of us, it brings us to tears. It brings great joy as we recount a story and an encounter with God, how God convicted our hearts, how He has touched our lives. And if we don't have a story of that encounter, that personal encounter with our Lord Jesus Christ, we need to get one. I've had many stories, and I'm going to share one with you today. I was a pastor out on the Eastern Plains. Some of you might know I came in from Alaska, but before I came in from Alaska and the missions there, I was out on the Eastern Plains. I was a pastor out there for 11 years in Yuma and Ray. At the beginning of Advent, something very interesting happened to me. I was sitting in the church. I just celebrated a Mass, and we were beginning Advent, and I finished up the Mass for the first Sunday of Advent. And I was sitting there, and there's this man who there in Ray, he'd always hang out in the parish. He was a Third Order Franciscan, and I swear he looked like Santa Claus. He did, I swear. Rotund guy. He big white beard, bald head, but he would sit there before our Lord Jesus Christ all day, and if he could, all night. And he would pray. Well, one day, that day, what happened is I was going out of the church. I was greeting people as they were leaving, and there was these two people there. And I looked at them, and I saw them. And immediately, what happened to me is I judged them immediately. I saw them. I said, oh, they're here for money. They're here to beg. I'd never seen them before. They weren't neatly dressed, and they weren't the prettiest in the world. They were common folk, obviously poor, obviously in need, man and a woman, well overweight. And so I went over to them, and I was hesitant, and I went over them, and I began to talk to them. And my heart was hard. And as I began to speak to them, I asked them, what do you want? What do you need? How can I help you? Is there anything I can do for you? And they said, no, Father, we're okay. And I said, and I was thinking in the back of my mind, oh yeah, right. As I began, and my guard was up, not sure what to do. And they begin to talk to me, tell me their story. They begin to tell me their story of why they're there, what they're doing. And as I began to listen to their story, it became very interesting to me as their story, because their story began to become very comical to me. It was truthful, but yet contradictory. And as I began to listen to their story, they would tell me, and they began to tell me very interesting things. They would say, oh yes, Father, we're not from this area, we're passing through, but we've traveled, we've seen John Paul II, St. John Paul II. We were here for 1993 when he was here for Youth Day. We even got very close to him. We got to see him up close. We were at the Vatican, and they began to tell me all about John Paul II, how they knew him, and how they actually greeted him there. And I was like, yeah, as I looked at them, right? And I started to think, and they began to tell me, everything about John Paul II, really interesting stuff. And I said, whoa. And then they told me how they've traveled to Lourdes and to Fatima, my two favorite places. Lourdes is my favorite in France. And they told me, I was looking at them, and I said, how? You guys are so poor. How could you have gotten there? I was thinking in my mind. And as they began to relate their story to me and began to tell me their story, and like I said, it's so contradictory and truthful at the same time, I started to laugh, just laugh and laugh, and my heart started to be put at ease. And I began to be at ease with them. And as they were going through their story, and I couldn't stop laughing at some points. And as I looked at them in their eyes, I said to myself, my God, could this be Joseph and Mary? Could this be Joseph and Mary? I mean, there was a ton of joy in my heart. I was at peace after their story, as they were telling me their story. And so I said to them, in all sincerity, my heart was melting. I was softening up. And I said to them, look, do you have a place to stay? I will put you up. I will pay for a hotel for you. Did you see the movement that began to take in my heart as I began to hear their story? I'll put you up in a hotel. No, Father, we have a place to stay. We're good to go. How about if I take you out to eat and take you? Oh, no, Father, we have dietary restrictions. You know, we can't. You know, we got this and this. It'd be very difficult. And I said, no, it's no problem. I can take you out to eat. I can take you anywhere to eat. Any place you want, you pick. I'll go there. I'll take you. I know some nice places here. I'll take you there. No, Father, we're okay. And then I said to him, well, can I give you anything? Oh, no, we're okay. And I said to him, here's 20 bucks. Look, will you take the 20 bucks at least? I have more. I can give you more. If the 20 bucks isn't enough, I can give you. What do you need? They said, no, Father, we're okay. And I said, please, take the 20 bucks. And they said, okay. And then they departed. And I was like, I walked into the church. My Third Order Franciscan was sitting there, St. Nicholas. And I walked over to him, and I was just laughing. I was laughing so hard, tears were pouring down my face. I was just laughing, and I said to him, I just encountered Joseph and Mary. I just encountered Joseph and Mary. And we just laughed and laughed, and my heart was at ease. I was joyful. The next day I celebrated Mass at my other parish in Yuma. So I went there, and so this little, after Mass, after my very last Mass, which was a Spanish Mass, this little viejita, she walked up to me, a little old lady, viejita is a nice little name for him, viejita, and she walked up to me, and she said, Padrecito, okay, my little father, Padrecito, yo tengo un regalito para ti. I said, and I was smiling at her, and she grabbed my hand. She's a little bent over lady, and she placed something in my hand, and she said, ese es para ti, Padrecito, un regalito para ti, a little gift for you, my little father. And she laughed, and everybody was done. I didn't even look. I put it in my pocket, didn't look when it was done. I grabbed, put my hand back in my pocket, and I pulled out the regalita, the little gift, and it was a $100 bill. What a deal. I give Joseph and Mary 20, and they give me 100 back. I should have given them $100. See, the story loosened my heart. I was selfish when I encountered them, and I became selfless in the end. God can't be outdone in generosity, and that's what he shows us in this story today, that he refuses to be outdone in generosity. So, my brothers and sisters, do you know our story? Do you know why God took flesh and became man so as to redeem each and every one of us sitting here and those that are not here? Why Christ, our Lord God, took flesh? Time dictates brevity from me, but like St. Paul, I'm still going to try to tell you part of the story, the whole story in brevity. As St. Paul said to, as St. Paul was preaching one day in Trous, he was preaching, and as he was preaching to the people, he decided to continue his homily like I'm going to do now. And he continued it till midnight, and there was this young man sitting on a windowsill, and he fell out of the windowsill because he fell asleep, and he hit the ground, and he died. And St. Paul went down to him and raised him up. My brothers and sisters, don't fall asleep. I'm not St. Paul. But please listen to the story of our salvation. Our salvation goes like this. See, our salvation, the birth of Jesus Christ, always points to the cross, always points to where he is to go. For our salvation, when God took flesh, he took it in a humble way, a quiet way. And it was interesting how it began, because see, Augustus, who was Caesar Augustus at the time, who was triumphant at the time, the whole world was at peace, it said. The whole world was at peace, and Caesar Augustus was in charge of the world. And so since the world was at peace, what did Caesar Augustus do? He called for a census, and he told all the people, all the Jews, all the people in all of their lands, they had to go back to where they were born at and register there so that he could take his census of them. Augustus's triumph, Caesar Augustus's triumph actually prefigures Christ's triumph in a very interesting and yet beautiful way. Because see, the same thing with Christ. Christ came in a time of peace. And for us, God calls us to come home, back to the church. He calls us when we are born to come to be baptized and to be registered in the book of life. Our name is written in the book of life. The true king has taken from the false king Christ has won victory. He has taken, the strong man's house, the world, and he has conquered it for himself. And those of us who live the book of life will enter triumphantly into heaven with him. But we have to live. It's not sufficient just to have our names written in the book of life. We must live what is written there. And so, our story continues. Christ came, he was born in a cave, and that cave points to his burial chamber. He was born in a cave, placed in a manger, a trough, a feeding trough, in the town of Bethlehem. Christ, when he died, was buried in a cave. His whole life, his birth, points to the end. We need to know the story. He was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. He was placed in a trough where animals eat, telling us when he would say, "I am the bread of life." And we must eat of his flesh and drink of his blood in order to have life. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, just like when he died, he was wrapped in the shroud. He was vulnerable, and he made himself vulnerable, and he continues to make himself vulnerable to each and every one of us. The story is greater than what I am telling you now, but for brevity's sake, I will show you that the life of Christ, his birth, points to the cross. But we have to follow the story. We have to live the story. Because you know what they told? You know what God told the Jews in Deuteronomy and Exodus? When they exited out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery, and God gave them the Passover, and God told them, "You are to do this perpetually." And he said, "When your son asks you, 'Father, why do we celebrate this?' Years from now, generations from now, when your son asks you, 'Why do we celebrate the Passover?' you are to tell him, 'Our Father, the God of our fathers, has taken us from the land of Egypt.'" In other words, he continues in the present tense, not the past tense. He doesn't speak about the past. He speaks about the present, because our salvation is continuing to this day. Like the Jews, we retell the story in Holy Mass. And if we don't attend Mass every Sunday, how are we going to know the story? How are we going to hear it explained to us piece by piece in our hearts as God reveals himself to us little by little each time we sit in Mass? He puts the puzzle, pieces of puzzle, together. And in the end of our life, as we near the end, we begin to see the whole picture. We retell the story at Mass. We retell our salvation. And we enter into the gift of this salvation. If we do not know our story, my brothers and sisters, then how are we supposed to experience peace? How are we going to recognize Christ when he comes to us, the child when he comes to us, if we do not know our story? Because I'll tell you right now, Jesus Christ comes to each and every one of us in the Eucharist. The problem is we can't recognize him, because in the Eucharist we say it's a piece of bread, we say it's a symbol, we say whatever, because we don't know the story. And so if Christ is convicting you at this moment, rend your hearts. Don't harden your hearts as on the day of Meribah and Massah, when they provoked me, God said. But rend your hearts, for Christ comes to us. and he brings peace to our hearts. And what must we do? As John the Baptist would say, repent. Repent. For Christ stands, and he came for our salvation, and he will never reject our tears of repentance when we come to him with sincerity of heart and mind, seeking the mercy which he came to give to us on this day, as he takes us back from the strong man and he hands us to his Father in victory.